What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 199. Do you hear what I just said? Episode 199. We're one away from 200 episodes. You guys have any idea how much time that is of me talking into a microphone? That is wild. Had so many awesome guests, though, up to this point. I'm grateful. I know so many of you have been here literally since episode one. Can't thank you enough. Hopefully it's been worth every minute of it. That's really all I would say. We'll get into that more next week. But today, this is a concept it kind of started in my brain like 20 years ago based on something that happened. And it's called the big dog effect. And I think this is going to break down so much of what is happening in society, why it's happening. But also, I want to talk to you about how we get away from it. So you're gonna want to remember this. It's the big dog effect. I promise you, this is going to be worth your listen. Also, too, make sure, go to crossomeats.com. Guys, if you've been listening to the podcast and you love it, you love the value, I know you'll also love the meat that we've been creating here on the business side. You know, it's going to be all the good stuff. Me and my wife yesterday, we were gone for like 16 hours dropping off beef, picking up beef, going here, going there, inventorying, stocking, like it was literally 16 hours yesterday. We about killed each other, but we survived, which is great. So since we did survive all of that, got to go to crossomeats.com. We are fully stocked with beef, fully stocked with pork. You can also get any of your Crosso gear if you want some cool shirts or any of that. Or yeah, if you just do subscribe, you get a free shirt with your subscription. So there's that too. But we got the cool meat hooks or, you know, grilling hooks. Everything's there. Go to crossomeats.com. Check it out. All right, everybody, let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. I am so excited to be back for a solo episode. It has been a little while. Did have a little bit of a break there. Let's call it a summer vacation, I guess, because, it wasn't because of a vacation, though, either. It's just been crazy. So much stuff going on here at the ranch and just kind of in life in general. Just again, got super busy over the past few weeks, but excited to be back. Going to see if I can get my lovely wife on for next week because we got a lot of good stuff to talk about as well. So we'll see if we can make that happen or not. Who knows? Maybe, maybe not. She's kind of hard to get on here, it seems like. So one of the things that I have always kind of wanted to do is write a book. And, you know, I've actually started a few different books. Some thinking like maybe I'd write a book kind of on the professional side and then maybe some on more of the lifestyle side. And I've always, you know, I've started a book a couple different times and I've never finished it. And I don't know, maybe it's because I wasn't fully passionate, wasn't fully invested in it, or maybe I just procrastinated. That might be the better excuse, but for whatever reason, it's never happened. But I've always wanted to be an author. I've always wanted to write a book. I always like to write. So maybe that'll happen. But one of the concepts that I've really thought would be a fascinating book to write, and I would love to get you guys' take on this as well. If you want, hit me up at primal.king on Instagram. Let me know what you think. But so it kind of has to start with a story to explain it. And so it's a concept I call the big dog effect. So about, I don't know, probably 20 years ago or so, I was doing construction after I had left college. And me and another guy were working construction together. And we were over at our boss at the time at his house, and the buddy of mine, his name was Derek also. But he had a bull mastiff, kind of a younger pup. And I don't know about you guys, but like a bull mastiff is a big dog. So I've had several different English mastiffs, which are usually taller. They're still big. Like my dog now, Teddy, he's getting a little older, but he's close to 200 pounds. Like they're big dogs, right? Well, a bull mastiff is, they're shorter and squattier, but they're still big, mean, powerful, you know, they're not mean, but big, powerful, mean looking, I should say, dogs. And so this pup, I don't know, he's probably like 5 or 6 months old. It's hard to tell because those pups grow so big. You know, it's not like a little border collie puppy or something like that. They're already big at like 6 or 8 months old. But anyways, we're out, and my boss at the time, we're out at his yard, and he was sitting there kind of playing with this pup. and he's kind of getting him riled up a little bit. And then all of a sudden, he whips him over onto his back. He whips the pup over on his back and starts choking him out, like full on just choking this dog out. And I'm like sitting there, like it was caught off guard a little bit. You know, I was like, that's kind of weird. Like, what is he doing? He's choking his dog. And the dog's like sitting there, like, you know, like flailing how, you know, anybody would do, I guess, if they're getting choked out. And dogs, yeah, it's like sitting there flailing and kicking all over. And then finally just stops and submits, right? And then my buddy lets his dog up and pets him. He's like, good boy. And he kind of looks over at me. He could tell I was all concerned about what was going on. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? You know, like, what are you doing that to your dog for? And he's like, you have to do it with these big dogs. I'm like, you have to do what? And he's like, you got to make them understand who the man is, who the authority is. Like, so you choke them out? And he's like, yeah, that's what they understand. You know, like with other dogs and stuff, when they choke each other out, that basically means they lose. That's how they submit. And he's like, because he had had a couple of these bull mastiffs before, and he's like, I always do it. I always do it with them when they're puppies, you know, get them to the point where they're getting a little aggressive, playing a little too hard, and then boom, flip them on their back and pin them and choke them out until they basically can't breathe and they just submit. I'm like, huh? He's like, because what you don't want is you don't want a puppy like this when they're going to be a big dog. You don't want them growing up not knowing who the authority is. You know, you want to make sure that these dogs know exactly who's in charge and who the boss is, especially if you have kids around, you have stuff like that. I can't have this dog going around biting people. I have to make sure he knows who the man is. I'm like, interesting. And so I've had three different English Mastiffs now, and I've actually done that to every one of my dogs. You know, make sure they understand at a very, very young age who the man is, who the authority is, right? Like who they submit to. In fact, it's pretty funny. Like with Teddy, he's like 8 years old now. And if I go over to him and I like start growling at him and kind of getting up in his face a little bit, he'll roll over on his back and put his legs up and just totally submit. Keep in mind, this dog is like almost 200 pounds. It's not like he's some little tiny dog. He's a massive dog. He's huge. Anybody who knows Teddy, you know how big he is. And, you know, we just always kind of said, as long as we live along the highway, we're always going to have a big, scary looking dog, right? That could defend us if he needed to. But with me, like, he knows I'm the authority. In fact, Jess, you know, my wife, she's always joking, like, he only listens to you. And it's like, well, because at a very young age, I made sure he understood that I was the authority, so he would submit. So if I tell him to go lay down or whatever, he listens. And I don't know, I'm sure there's probably a lot of people out there that are like, oh, that's animal cruelty and blah, blah, blah. But it works, right? It works. Like he submits, and I'm sure there's better ways of doing it, whatever, but that's the way that I've done it after I learned from my buddy Derek. So anyways, where does that come into me wanting to write a book? Well, I believe this big dog effect is real, because the reality is if you've ever been bit by a dog, it's probably some little stupid little kick me dog, right? Because we always look at them as being pretty harmless. We never really care too much about them. We're not worried about their aggression. Oh, it's just a little dog. Just kick him off of you if he bites you or whatever. But these big dogs, we have to be like overly, you know, we have to really, really be overly cautious about them, because let's face it, like if my dog Teddy wanted to eat me, he could do it. He weighs almost as much as I do. He's massive. I've seen him, you know, he punctured one of our other dogs' skulls once when they got in a dog fight. Like that dog can bite really hard and would mess somebody up. And so it's like we have to be overly cautious. We can't let, in fact, like if you ever go to buy an English Mastiff puppy or a Mastiff in general, so oftentimes like in the descriptions and stuff, it's like great temperament, you know, super gentle, no history of aggression, blah, 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 blah. Like because people know that we're scared of big dogs like that. And so it's like they breed the aggression out of them. They do everything they can to make sure that they're not going to be aggressive. And so what are we left with? We're left with they're a great dog. But then you also worry like, okay, are they so gentle and so, you know, just like doom-de-doom, right? That if I had somebody break in my house, would they eat him? Now, I think Teddy would, but I don't know for sure. Like maybe that's been so far taken out of him that now he's just he just looks like a big dog that would slobber on you and that's it. And where this comes into what I would love to write a book about is I believe this is the exact same concept, the exact same thing that has been happening to men in our country for decades. Because let me ask you this, like maybe if you ever spent very much time, especially if you're maybe my age, right? Around 40-ish, you know, maybe 30s, 40s, somewhere in there. If you knew your grandpa, chances are because this goes for a lot of men I knew that were like my grandpa-ish age. You know, people who now would probably be 80 or, you know, a lot of them obviously maybe have passed on. But a lot of these men were very, very dangerous men. And I don't mean dangerous in the sense of like hurt you, but they were capable, right? Maybe that's the better term. It's very capable to where a lot of these men had seen war. They'd seen death. They'd seen hardships. Maybe some of them have gone through depressions. They've, you know, had to save, you know, food. Every bite had to count. They were very, very hardened and very, very capable to where they just didn't take a lot of crap. And then it seems like over the decades, we've gotten less and less of that, especially in men. And in this episode today is mostly going to be around men, because women, you can kind of speak for yourselves on this. But for what I see, most men nowadays are passive, weak, maybe even passive aggressive. You know, and I even feel like me compared to like some of the people that went before me, like my grandparents, great grandparents, stuff like that, I'm the same way. And so why is that happening? Well, I do believe it is the big dog effect, right? Which is, I believe the people that are truly in power, not the elected people, but the people who truly run everything. And I'm not trying to get all conspiratorial, but the people that actually run everything, they do not want strong, capable men. Why is that? Because strong, capable men are a direct threat to their power structure. It is very, very hard to control a strong, capable man. Very hard to control that person. It's very, very hard to control people who are fit and are free thinkers and who believe in God above country or, you know, so-called scientists or authority figures. That is a very, very dangerous man. Why is that? Because you cannot control him. If he doesn't answer to a government, but he answers only to God and the beliefs that he has in God, how can you tell him to do what you want him to do if they don't line up with his values and morals? You can't. You can't do it. Now, maybe you could scare him enough, maybe, but somebody who is truly a strong man, it is very, very, very hard to get them to do things that they don't want to do, because they'll just stand up and say, I won't do it. You can kill me. You can torture me. You can do whatever you want, but I'm not going to listen to you. That's a very, very dangerous person. Just like a big dog who is like my Teddy, right? Like my dog. If that dog does not respect your authority, that is a dangerous animal. You never know what that dog might do to you. So what you need to do, if that dog is a very, very capable dog of being dangerous, is you better choke him out at a young age, and you better keep your foot on his throat to where he knows exactly who he answers to, exactly who the authority is. And at that point, you'll have a great relationship with that dog. And that, guys, is exactly where we're at, in my opinion, as a country. I mean, just look over the past 3 years. It doesn't get any clearer than that. Just look at everything that's happened in the past few years and what we as a society of men have been willing and really what we've tolerated. I mean, if you look at it to where most of us now are overweight, most of us now are depressed, most of us now don't really have a burning desire and a future and a purpose. I mean, most of us are just ripe for the picking when it comes to being able to control and submit to authority. Most of us don't even have, it seems like, or at least a lot of it, and it's trending this way, we don't have a belief in a higher power anymore. So if you don't have a belief in a higher power, guess who can really, really control you? People who do have power above you, government, right? Local government, big government, federal government, all of it. All of that can control you very easily because you would look at them as being the ultimate authority. They can have authority over morals, values, right? They can dictate whatever they want to you because they are, in our existence, if you have no belief in a higher power, they would be the highest power that you would have to have belief in. So if they tell you to trust the science, you would say, okay. If they tell you, you have to do this in order to do that, you would say, okay. If they said anything, you would essentially be willing to accept it. Why is that? Because they are the authority. You have submitted to them. And now if you want to go back even further, think about a young boy. A young boy is taught from a very young age, don't be aggressive, right? At a very young age, don't be a bully. If somebody does bully you, what should you do? Because it used to be, and I'm old enough to remember the days, where it used to be if a bully picks on you, you punch them in the face as hard as you possibly can. And then you might get beat up after that. But you know what? That bully is going to be way less likely to pick on you next time if they understand there's a consequence there. Because you going and telling the teacher and the teacher saying, okay, little Jimmy, don't be doing that. Stop picking on little Charlie over here. You know, you're going to have to go sit and, you know, like I even remember sometimes you would see these kids who would be bullies. And then if you did tattle on them or kids would tattle on them, they would lose half their recess and then they'd be even more pissed. And so they'd bully you even worse, right? They would go and bully that kid even worse because that kid went and tattled, got them in trouble, and then they were even more mad. But on the flip side of that, if you go up and that kid is bullying you over and over and over again, and you just hit him in the face as hard as you can, he may continue to bully you a little bit. He may, after you hit him in the face, beat the tar out of you. But I guarantee you one thing is that that bully will think twice about messing with you. Because it's much easier for a bully to go and pick on somebody who will do nothing than it is to have a consequence. But that's what we've been doing. We've been teaching these kids over and over and over, these boys over and over and over, you know, run to your safe space. If somebody says something that you don't like, tell the authority, you know, tell the teacher, tell the cops, call 911 if someone misgenders you, whatever it may be, right? Like we've taught this over and over and over. And then we wonder why we have such a weak and submissive society. Well, it's pretty simple. It really is the big dog effect. Like when you've been choked out for stepping out of line your entire life, what do you expect is going to happen when you get to be older? You're going to remember that. You're going to remember all the times you step out of line, you got choked out, and now you're like, nope, I submit. Here's one of the things that we've learned in the past 3 years, right? And this is something maybe that will piss some of you off, but it's true in my belief, right? Which is, there's no clearer example of this than the whole vaccine rollout. There really isn't. Because I feel like, now let me step back a little bit. There were truly people who are terrified of this, and I understand why they were. This, in my opinion, is one of the best marketing campaigns and one of the biggest psyops that probably has ever taken place in our world in a mass scale, right? I really do believe that it was. And so there literally were people who were terrified and they went and got the jab because they bought into all of the hype and all the propaganda. I understand that. That even that might be controversial. There might be some of you that never do it, no matter what, right? Well, look, man, if you're scared enough and you watched enough like CNN during that period of time, you probably would want to be going and getting the first one in line. Here's where I had the biggest problem, is the people who knew it was wrong, they 100% disagreed with it, but they did it anyways. Now look, I'm never going to fault somebody for wanting to provide for their family, and I know that some people were faced with job losses and, you know, all kinds of other social pressure. I had it myself from family members, right? So I get it. But if you knew it and you went against it, that's not good. That's not good. Now, again, I understand there are circumstances in people's lives that might have a different approach to this, different reasoning. I'm not here to judge you. But I also believe that if enough strong men during that period of time would have stepped up and said, no, not happening. Like if our military would have all said, nope, not doing it, they would have dropped it in 5 seconds. Look at the pilots, right? They tried to do the mandate on the pilots. And there was enough strong men in those pilots, but also think of the age group of a lot of these pilots. A lot of these guys are 40 to 60 years old, 40 to 65, wherever they make you retire. They're older. They come from a little different generation. And so I found it fascinating that the ones who kind of put an end to it were the airline pilots, who most of those guys, when you get on an airplane, they usually look 50 to 62. I think they're forced to retire at 62 or something like that, whatever. But most of those guys were older. They grew up a little different than maybe some of you 20-year-olds did. Right? They're a little bit more, yeah, I'm not going to listen to you about certain things. Like, I'm just not going to cross that line. And when they did that, though, it ended. Those vax mandates for the pilots ended like that because they were like, we literally won't get an airplane off the ground. Like, we just don't have enough pilots. And so that's the moral of this. When you have strong men who are willing to stand up for the right things, this country works great. We have freedoms, we have protections. And when all of that stuff breaks down, we have strong people who are like, I don't care what you tell me. I don't care what laws you pass. I don't care what you do. It goes against my God. It goes against my belief. It goes against my values. Not doing it. Kill me, fire me, do whatever. Not doing it. And again, like I also understand that I wasn't in some of those situations. So maybe it's easy for me to say, but that's one of the reasons why I'm so big on like building a lifestyle that you want. Is so you never have to be in those situations. You don't have to make the decision, do I get the jab? Do I get fired? Do I lose my retirement? Do I do this? Like that, man, that's a horrible decision to make. And honestly, I'm pissed that anybody had to make that decision. Like, that sucks. I don't envy that position at all. But guys, I wish that we understood what is happening to us. It's the exact same scenario. It's the exact same situation as choking out a mastiff or a big dog when they're little to make sure they submit to authority at a very young age. And then you just keep your thumb on them their entire life. Right? Those dogs. Like I said, my dog's 8 years old. I go up and growl at him. It's kind of funny, right? But I go up and growl at him and he turns on his back because of what I did when he was a puppy and made him understand who the authority is. And if you don't think that exact same thing is happening right now with our country and with our government, you are crazy, right? I mean, you couldn't even post about this stuff 2.5 years ago without getting banned on social media or getting throttled. I mean, my podcast numbers went crazy down, and maybe it pissed people off that I was talking about it, but more so what I think happened is they started not pushing it out as much. They throttled down my reach on this because the people who are at the very top, they don't want a lot of people talking about stuff exactly like this episode. They don't want people talking about the big dog effect. They don't want people putting the correlation as to the way that you make a dog be like subservient, be submittal, like all of that stuff is the exact same psychology that goes into a human being. And if you can choke them out enough at a young age, if you can teach them, you know, you go to the authority for everything, you respect, you know, you respect authority no matter what, all of this, they've got you. And the reality is that for most of our country, most of the men in this country that I see, they've got us. So it's up to us, just however many men are out there that are still strong, that still believe in free thought, you have to speak up. You have to do the best that you can. Like, I have friends that are, you know, mentoring young kids and taking them out into the wilderness, you know, shout out to Wade and Youth Dynamics here locally, like doing stuff like that. That's like teaching these kids how to get out there and how to experience freedom and nature and all this type of stuff. You know, and there's a lot of people that are doing stuff like that, you know, podcasts, people on social media, the more and more and more of this, the people are aware of like this big dog effect and how to get out from under it, the better off we all will be. You can say all you want for all you feminists that are out there. We want, you know, toxic masculinity is terrible and, you know, it's ruining society. The reality is, just remember this, and I've seen this quote go around, but look, man, if somebody starts shooting up a joint, you're not looking for a feminist, right? If somebody, if there's a fire, you're not calling the local gender studies professor, right? You want strong, capable men who are willing to run in when everybody else is running out. And that's the same way that it's always going to be. It's natural law. In my opinion, it was built that way from the beginning by God. Maybe it's the way that we evolved, whatever, but that's the way it is. Ain't going to change. So just remember, guys, the big dog effect. I don't know. I'm curious too. Let me know if you think that this is an actual interesting topic for a book to where you could go deep into it and kind of cite where some of these things changed. Because I find it all fascinating how this all came about, when these changes started. I think it'd be really interesting to dive into that. Let me know. I would love to hear from you if you think this would be an interesting book, maybe something you'd want to read. All right, everybody, get them off your throat, man. Just like a dog. Nope, not happening. If you resonate with this concept as well, I would ask that you share it out to people because I do believe whether you're a man or a woman, it's happening to both sides of this. We're teaching people to just kind of sit down, shut up. Don't let your voices be heard. Don't stand up for your values, especially if you're a Christian or maybe even if you're a Muslim or whatever, Catholic, LDS, whatever you are. I believe that they're trying to push the voices down because they don't want any type of moral authority. They don't want you believing in something higher than our overlords. And I don't know. I'm not good with that. So share it out there, everybody. Get this episode out there. Get it to people who need to hear it. Hope you all have an awesome weekend. Talk to y'all soon.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.